Busy routines can make it hard to focus on your health goals, but MedExpress offers a simple way to explore weight management treatment online. Complete our short eligibility consultation with no need for face-to-face appointments or travel. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly, with UK-registered clinicians offering support along the way. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to get started today.
Imagine waking up one day and being told you have stage 4 cancer. Now imagine that it is not even the hardest thing that you've been through. Brain surgery, multiple neurological conditions, chronic pain that never fully disappears, years of watching your life get smaller and smaller while the medical system hands you another prescription and tells you how to manage it. Most people in that position spend the rest of their lives trying to get back to who they were before. Albie Shainfelter made a completely different decision. He decided to stop trying to go back and start finding out who he could become. Today, he competes on the U.S. Adaptive Golf Tour. Today, he is a 2-time international best-selling author. And today, his message is reaching out to people around the world who were told the same thing he was told. That is just that. This is just how life is going to be right now. He is here to tell you it does not have to be that way. My guest today, he's one of the most remarkable people I have ever met and I had the privilege of speaking with. Albie Shainfelter is a 2-time international best-selling author, a global technology executive, and the creator of the 3B framework, a battle-proven approach to reclaiming your life from chronic illness built on 15 years of lived experience and the insights of countless others who have walked the same road. He has survived brain surgeries, stage 4 cancer, chronic neurological conditions, and years of chronic pain. And instead of asking how to get through it, he started asking how to thrive through it. The answer he found changed everything. Albie, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you being on. Now, Albie, I wanted to go back because I think people really need to feel the weight of what you've been actually through before they can truly understand what you have built. Brain surgeries, stage 4 cancer, chronic neurological conditions, years of pain. Take us back to the moment that you broke you open, the moment where you had a chance to make a choice about what kind of person you were going to be on the other side of all of this. What was happening in your body and what was happening in your mind?
A lot. So, changes were coming fast and furious. And at that time, I was a high-tech global technology executive flying around the world. Doing deals and hosting clients and growing businesses. And then one day I just had a horrible, painful sensation on the side of my face. And, I really thought maybe I got some chemicals on it or something. Of course, they're beautiful, but, the realistic is like, it takes a lot to make that happen. I was scrubbing it and it didn't get better. It actually got worse. And it got to the point where it felt like an ice pick was in the side of my face. Kind of the sensation when you have a cavity and you eat something cold and you get that really intense nerve shock. And unfortunately, the trigeminal nerve just got stuck on. At the time, I was like any other problem. How can we deal with this? Like, what can we do? And I was, very aggressive, maybe overly aggressive. And I really went at it hard. And unfortunately, the nerve 5 sits at the base of the brain. So to get there, you have to kind of tunnel through. And so we just kind of were going procedure after procedure. And I was just like, what's next? Cycling through all the meds and then trying this and that. And it got to the point where, it was, you're going to have to learn to live with this. And that was, life shattering and just really shook, everything from that moment, like had to decide, like, am I going to continue? Like, can I figure this out? And so I reached out and I joined some support groups online, and it was good and bad. There is some lowest common denominator. There's some negative mindsets. But what really got me was the people that chose not to continue. And it was really hard. You'd be connected with them like we are right now, and then the next day they'd be gone. And, it just completely rocked my world. You know, I was also a father. I had young kids. I just kept like my passwords, like you have to find a way. So yeah. Every time I had to log into something, it was just a constant reminder. But throughout, you know, that whole process, I just kept taking notes over and over and trying to think, what can I tell myself over and over to get through each day, but then start to have a positive impact on other people. And so for me, I came up with a mantra called the three B's. And so it's kind of how I live: be strong, be well, be kind. And if I can achieve all three B's every day, and you know, I'm doing okay. And so that was it. You know, the hardest part, I think, for me was throughout this, the after effects of the brain surgeries and the ongoing neuromuscular challenges, the neuro condition, the nerve pain, is that it hid cancer spreading throughout my skeleton. So, you know, it just was a solid gut punch to hear the news that out of the gate, you're at the final stage already. And so many lesions, they call it too many to count. And, you know, it was devastating. You know, told us that it was time to get her affairs in order, and, you know, very bleak. So you just had to dig deep in same mentality, like, okay, we're going to have to find a way. And, you know, I just kept applying this mantra over and over to this. And then here we are 4 years later, not a couple of months, but years and years later, great things are happening in my life. And, you know, there's challenges every day, but, you know, we get up and we try again.
I love that. Now, here is something that I know will resonate with millions of people listening right now. You went through the system. You did what you were told. And at some point you realized that managing symptoms is not the same as living. What is the medical system missing when it comes to chronic illness?
Wow. There's a lot. You know, I think the number one thing for me is that, you know, as a patient, you need to realize who you're talking to. So I don't go to the swim coach to get advice on my putting for golf. And, you know, I don't go to the golf pro to get advice on how I can breathe better to take more strokes in the pool. Historically, the doctors have had, you know, they were the expert and they would just tell you. And it turns out it's an opinion, and we have the world's information at our fingertips. You know, it's our responsibility to do research, you know, to go talk to someone else, talk to other patients, you know, let them do their jobs and propose the medicines and the treatments that they have available to them today, which is another thing that you need to realize, that this is a snapshot in time. No one has a crystal ball. With the prostate cancer, even though it's late stage, I've stayed alive long enough where there's new treatments that are available now that are doing really well that didn't even exist a few years ago.
Right.
So if you can kind of slow down. You know, so this is kind of missing on that side. You know, if you can realize that I'm talking to them about this specific problem, and if it goes into, you know, food or, you know, other areas of your life, you know, maybe you can put up some guardrails and try and get that focus back on. So when I talk to oncologists, like, I want to talk about how we're treating cancer.
Yeah.
You know, they may, you know, they're not nutritionists. They're, you know, don't have, their background is not trained in alternative things that could complement this and accelerate healing.
Right.
And, you know, the American medical system is, you know, give me a pill. And I think we should really be looking for the minimum effective dose of anything. And that's up to us to be able to, you know, journal, log, pay attention. You know, I believe you too. You know, there's outside factors that affect us, like the weather changing and the change of seasons. You know, did I hydrate enough? You know, this doesn't mean I need to go take another pill. It means like, you know, maybe I should be drinking a little more water throughout my day, or, you know, there's lots of things. Or look at the 5-day forecast and plan your life accordingly around what you can't control. Because if storms roll through in the summer, which will happen.
Yeah.
It could be very disruptive to you. You know, I think the number one thing is for you to own it and to think about what they're saying and make sure that you're listening to only what pertains to the issue that you're talking to them about, and make sure that they're the expert in that. I think that's the number one thing. And then, you know, you need to look outside of just getting treated or taking the medicine. What, you know, kind of holistically, what can you do to improve your life? Maybe just make it a little bit better each day. Just try and think, you know, did you laugh today?
Yeah.
I mean, laughing floods the brain with the same chemicals as opioids. So, you know, do you want a messed up stomach or do you want to laugh a lot? Like, I think I'd rather laugh.
Sure. You know, like, what do patients like desperately need that almost no doctor is equipped to give them?
Mm. Well, I think this is something that I've seen in my life improving over time, but it's the dialogue. For me, it's the dialogue. You know, it's not handing you something written in stone. It's, you know, here is what we think. Here is some options. What do you know, what do I think? And then, you know, for me, trying to adjust all these really intense treatments to fight, you know, maybe sometimes there's other things going on in my life that is more important than for me fighting right now. And I want to wait 3 months.
Yeah.
Maybe it might make things worse, but, you know, I want to go see my son graduate, or, you know, there's other things, you know, go see some of my daughter's art in a museum, or, you know, whatever. And then that actually helps me heal, you know. Yeah. There's a lot outside of what the doctor and the medical system will tell you. You know, I'll never say don't listen to your doctors, but I will say there is a lot more you can do than just take their advice and then do that.
I agree.
And that's on us as patients to be able to do that. You know, I think that's what I found is part of my big purpose in life is to help others. Not just inspire them with my story, but try and equip and enable them to do the same.
Yeah.
You know, find a way to live well around it, you know, because you try and control it. That's when you suffer, you know.
Yeah.
And we really, despite all the horribleness, you can find a way to live pretty well around all of it. You know, some days you can, right? And some days you can. And use that as fuel.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, have you had that experience?
Yeah, for sure. You know, there are many times, like one thing I liked what you said was that, you know, you can't just rely on a pill. There are so many people, and I do so much advocate work and I listen to so many different people's stories, and then so many people are angry because they go into a doctor's office and a doctor will give them medicine. They'll pop the pill and they don't feel better, or, you know, what their condition isn't going away, and you know, they're expecting gold when, you know, there's only pennies on the floor. You know what I mean? And I would look at people, I'm like, well, you know, you got to be your own doctor too. I'm like, how much research have you done on your condition, and how many questions have you listed to ask your doctor? You know, what kind of research have you done? How much do you really know about your illness or disease? Like, how much do you really know? And they just look at you with a dumbfounded face because they don't know. And, you know, I used to go into my doctor's office. I'd have a list of questions ready. I'd have my calendar book. I'd have all the stuff jotted in my calendar book. You know, I'd keep track of everything. And he used to call me the poster boy, you know, poster girl. You know, if I could have a poster board in the city of your face, I'd put it on there, he'd say. And I would just, you know, I think you have to, first of all, you have to be your own doctor in the sense where you don't diagnose yourself, but you have to have all the information ready and you have to have a good communication with your doctor. You know, some people don't, you know, this is one I've heard all the time. My doctor doesn't understand what I'm going through because they're not going through it. No, that's true. They don't know what you're going through, but they do understand the disease or the disorder, you know, and they can help you in the medical respect. But, you know, only way your doctor is going to understand what you're going through is if you communicate and you share with your doctor. And they can only do so much on that end, you know, the coping end. But the more information you give them, the better relationship you have with them, the better, you know, the healing process is going to become. And I also think, you know, many a times it takes time. People want fast recoveries. They want everything to go away. And it just doesn't happen like that. And you can't give up. You know, I never gave up. Every time I walked 3 steps forward, I got knocked back 2 steps, but I didn't give up. I just kept going. Every time something negative happened, I try to pull a positive out of the negative. How did this make me a better person? Did it give me more resilience? Did it give me knowledge? Did it give me wisdom? How could I use that? You know, and all those things kind of helped. And the biggest thing, and it was a challenging thing, is that I, like you mentioned earlier in your discussion with me, I had to give myself limitations. When I knew it was time to stop, I had to stop. You know, I'm the type of person that I start something, I want to keep going until I get it done. And many a times my body said, no, that's not happening today, you know, and I'd have to listen. And I didn't want to listen. And I learned the hard way. But eventually I got through my hard head and I was like, you know what? In order for me to get better, I need limitations in my life. And nobody likes limitations, but you know what? You do live a better life when you put healthy limitations in your life.
Yeah, if you can get those boundaries, you know, and I will argue all day long that you're being strong. Being strong isn't grinding through anymore. There's a problem in today's culture of this, you know, billionaire obsessed work 24 hours a day, you know, give up everything else in your life, you know, as opposed to, you know, trying to find all these different aspects of your life to really, you know, set up some boundaries and, you know, live well within them. And I argue that you're being strong by not grinding through because you were strong enough to say, hey, I got to take an unplanned time out. You know, I call them smart breaks because I'm kind of a dumb whatever if I don't take them, you know. And there used to be this understanding, you know, we talk about spoon theory, and that is awesome for a beginner discussion. But, you know, I don't believe that energy is finite. I believe that you can regenerate more spoons in your day. You know, just like your phone runs out of charge, if you let it go all the way down, it's going to take a lot longer to charge it up. But if you can see some early warning signs, take a break. You know, be strong. Right. Hit the timer. Like, you know, go take a pause. You know, I'm not saying don't get back up. But, you know, sometimes you may have to stay down for a few days or longer. Yeah, you know. But then get back up, you know, get back up and try. I mean, I tied my resilience to the sun. And granted, there's a lot of days where I'm really unhappy with myself. But if the sun rises in the east, I'll rise too, and I will try again. And so, you know, I look out there, and the sun's up, you know, darn it, I'm going to get up and try. But, you know, there's something to be said about those, you know, tiny tries, just trying over. And resilience is a skill. You know, you have to work on that. You know, and you mentioned about going to appointments and being prepared. You know, I highly recommend having a book because when you get in there, you know, the high hellos, you know, there might be a compliment or something, and then everything goes out the window. And then you're like, the appointment's over and it's gone. Your chance to interface, you know, doctors have gotten better with portals and you can follow up, but, you know, you need to have that one chance. So, you know, write it all down, you know, have all your questions as you're going through your interim period in between appointments, just have a book and, you know, a little notebook and, you know, have your notes and then do some, as you said, do your research. So you walk in, you know, there and they will, you know, and this will be telling about your doctor experience also is if they're willing to have a dialogue of it's just, no, this is the way it is, my way or the highway. Maybe. Yeah. Don't be afraid to change up your roster. you know? And sometimes where you are on your journey, that doctor will be perfect, but maybe you progressed a little far and it's time for, you know, a change. And that's not horrible, you know, to be able to change up your roster. And you got to have the courage, again, to be strong. And you're trying to be well, right? Anything we can do to just be a little tiny bit, like, more well, like, that's awesome. So, 100%. Yeah.
What did you figure out on your own through sheer lived experience that changed the whole trajectory of everything?
You know, I found that I can do a lot more than my mind and my brain will believe that I can. You know, and this kind of gets into being kind, you know, your self-talk and all that is there. And so you might say, oh, I'm going to try and do this, you know, whether it's do a show or, you know, go to an event or give a talk or whatever you're doing, your initial brain response might be, hey, you can't do that. You know, you have blah, blah, blah. You know, you just need to be safe and stay home and don't do any of that. You know, I found that, you know, if I can ignore some of those thoughts and just go try and do it, that I'm able to achieve and accomplish so much more than I could have ever believed that I could. So, you know, I try and live by that every day. Here, both of us are, you know, getting a message out to many, many more people. And, you know, every time it's that one person. I was just at an event and from a previous book signing, someone had bought a book and they brought back and I saw them again and they brought me a handwritten note. And I mean, I have it framed. It's one of, like, it is the most inspiring, motivating thing for me to understand that, like, I actually had a direct positive influence on them living a better life.
Yeah.
I mean, that helps me heal. And if I can help you heal, I'm going to do it. You know, I'd encourage you to do the same. And you are. So and you take 1 + 1, sometimes it can equal 7.
Yeah.
The power of collaboration, you know, next time you can go to the next level. So
100%. Yeah. I think one of the biggest achievements is knowing that you help somebody else, you know, and if one person can help one person and that person can help another person, another, can you imagine how wonderful the world could be if we all could just help one person?
Fantastic. I mean, yeah, like you help them, they help someone else, you know, and it just continues that chain. You know, the more we can shine just a little bit of light in the darkness for the people that can't see any light, that is where we win, you know, and that's, you know, I've been there and, you know, frankly, I've stood on the cliffs and, you know, it just, you know, when you can't see a path forward, you know, that's when we lose people. And so the more we can do to just say, hey, it may not be perfect. It may not be, it's definitely not the way you had it in your head, but again, just thoughts, right? So maybe it's a garbage thought. We throw that out and make a new thought. Right. And say, hey, today's going to be the best that I can make it be and go do that.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the 3B framework, because this is where I think people are going to lean in and not want to let go. Be strong, be well, be kind. You know, these three words sound so simple until you understand what they actually require of a person living with chronic illness. So what does, you know, being strong mean when your body is fighting against you?
Yeah. And we touched on this a little bit, like being strong isn't just grinding through, like being strong when you don't feel well physically is awesome because you're like, oh, wow, look, I actually was able to pick this up and move it. That's super cool. But, you know, it's to me, being strong is, you know, especially I grew up in an environment where we didn't talk about what was wrong and, you know, it was bad to show anybody your weakness or anything wrong with you. But I think it's stronger for me to say, hey, I have these challenges and these, you know, whether it's the diagnosis or, you know, this or that.
Yeah.
But look what else we're doing, right?
Right.
That is being strong, you know, or oh my gosh, like I had no idea there was going to be storms today and I didn't get enough sleep and I'm dehydrated and I'm under a lot of stress. You know, I just have to take an unplanned break this afternoon. And that is being strong.
Yeah.
Me going to get two more espressos and taking some sort of HGH supplement, you know, to try and grind through it. But that's just going to mess up tomorrow. So now I'm using today's energy tomorrow. Yeah. And tomorrow's me is going to be really upset at today's me.
Yeah.
Be strong, right? I can't encourage people enough to, you know, take a deeper look at what being strong means, especially when you have a chronic condition, you know, whether it's pain, illness, whatever. Just try and be strong and think about it through a different lens. And then be well. We all want to be well. But, you know, my question to you and to everybody listening would be, you know, what did you do today to be a little bit more well? You know, I have some issues with really intense muscle knots and spasms around where there's lesions on my bones.
Yeah.
So today I got up and I did some PT and some stretching and rolling around that. And it just really made a huge difference in my morning.
Right.
So I just spent 10 or 15 minutes and it just made me so much more well for today, for this. So then maybe, you know, we can help a whole bunch of other people learn to be well also.
I agree.
And then, you know, and I would say, you know, set goals or whatever, and you can make these huge plans, but, you know, do a little bit over a long period of time. And that's, you'll be shocked about how far you can go by just taking one tiny step over. And if you fall down, you know, stay down. Like you get kicked while you're down, you might need to stay down, but then get back up, you know, and get back up and get back up and get back up. And, you know, sometimes you get back up knowing that you're going to get knocked back down, you know?
Yeah.
I fall not a ton, but I, you know, just in this past month, I had three falls and all of a sudden you're in the air and you're like, oh no, this might be bad. And I run the risk of broken bones or paralysis. So I just need to be careful. But so now, you know, I bring my cane with me. So I'm trying to be more well. And then, you know, be kind. And it sounds kind of generic. People say this all the time and it's everywhere, but you know, you need to start with yourself and really the person in the mirror, especially while you're going through something and you're getting the news or you're getting updates and then you have to share the news and then dealing with all the people coming back at you and then trying to explain everything to everyone while you're going through it and dealing with what's trying to make decisions, you know, it's a lot. And if you can't be kind to yourself, kind of what you're being kind to everybody else may not be that genuine. You know, you can't, if your cup is empty, you can't fill someone else's. So you need to start with yourself. It's the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. And nobody can be kind all the time. And I fall from grace all the time. But, you know, for me, I'd like sometimes I will not even be aware that I'm starting to have a flare until I realize that I'm not being kind to other people. And then I'm like, oh, I'm having some extreme discomfort, unpleasantness, and it's coming out in a negative way. So, you know, I need to pause and then go reset, you know, my headspace. You know, I do meditation. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I never really thought yoga would be hard. And, you know, there's this thing of like, have you tried yoga? You know, but like, it's true. Like now, you know, I do yoga a couple times a week and it really just kind of getting into your body and out of your head and then realizing like, oh my gosh, a lot of me is okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I have like areas that are really problematic, but there's a lot of other parts that are okay. So, you know, maybe there's more okay than there's bad.
Yeah.
And that is a great way to be kind to yourself. If you can learn to do that as a practice. I mean, what do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. Over a decade ago, I wrote a book and it was called Be Kind. And then I wrote a journal and it was all about gratitude. And I found that gratitude, love, and kindness are the three most powerful words. And if you apply them to your life, you can change your whole life around and you can change yourself as a person. And when it came to yoga and meditation, that was one of the things that helped me control my seizures. But it was one of the hardest things, and not because of the stretching and the movement. It was because of the relaxation. Like, I remember being in a meditation class, and they had, like, you know, it was just regular like Zen yoga where you're just doing stretching, and you know, they were getting to that point where relaxation, and it was all the way to the end of the class. And I finally, after 45 minutes, started to feel relaxed. And then I see all of a sudden everybody's rolling their mats up and they're getting ready to go. I'm like, where's everybody going? I'm starting to feel relaxed. So I'm like, wait, don't go. I'm like, you know, I was like, relaxation, getting myself out of my head, because my brain was always thinking about the next thing and the next thing and what's tomorrow and what's going to be the next thing, that I never knew how to relax and de-stress. And finally, when I learned how to get myself out of my head, which was the meditation and the yoga, I was able to just focus on the present. And that was the answer. Focus on the present. The past is the past. We cannot change the past. So we can't focus on the past because it's all done and nothing's going to change. But when we worry about the future, we have no clue what the future has to hold. You can think about it and you can make scenarios in your brain, which most people do, and then they get their cortisol levels going through a roof because they're putting the scenarios in their brain already. They don't even know when you could be doing a total 360, and what you think is going to happen goes totally the other way. So what can you really do? You focus on the presence and you make the best out of what you have at that very moment. And that is the true sensation of being able to be your best and to have love, kind, and gratitude in your life. Just focus on the presence.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is fantastic. You know, better. You know, and I would challenge everyone listening, you know, to do a gratitude challenge, you know, even if it's just three things, either before bed or in the morning, or both sides, bookend it. Because where you really win from a neuroscience, like rewiring your brain, is the act of looking for things to be grateful for, instead of always looking for things to be wrong, which is, you know, we have survival instincts and, you know, our brain is like, you know, danger, danger, danger. You know, you could be like, oh, well, you know, I'm super grateful for this opportunity that, you know, maybe I can reach and touch a few more people that I would never have been able to do on my own, you know, and so I'm grateful, right? Like,
exactly.
You know, and then you start looking around like, well, I'm also grateful for this, you know, I mean, and even simple things like, oh my gosh, you know, we're having a heat wave. I'm grateful that we have air conditioning. I mean, like 50 years 70 years, however long, like it wasn't a thing, you know.
People and had, like, ice coolers. Thing.
Yeah, now like I can go upstairs and get, like, you know, ice water. Yeah, I mean, there's so much to be grateful right in front of you all the time. You just need to slow down. And I think that slowing down, and if you can work with your brain to try and help you stay present, that's really where you win, you know. And people don't really understand anxiety about the kind of worrying about a future event, but anxiety is an open-ended question without a solution. And anxiety will just keep moving the ball. So like you think you have figured out, anxiety will just change it. So you can worry forever.
Yeah.
For like the rest of your existence, you could spend worrying, or you could be like, maybe this will happen or maybe this won't happen.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
And just enjoy what's happening in front of you at this moment right now. And I know, like, you know, so many people have said it and we hear it everywhere, but to actually do it and make a practice of trying to do that, that's where you want.
Yes, 100%. Now, what does being well mean when full recovery may not be possible?
Yeah, so, you know, from my perspective is, you know, making your life as full as it can be, you know, whatever that means to you. You know, for me, you know, I need to be physically active. It's just part of who I am. I grew up being an athlete. And so You know, now, you know, what I can do gets very limited. But, you know, even with bone challenges and weakness, you know, I've worked with some of the experts at Johns Hopkins and other places that, you know, I can stand and rotate. So, yeah. You know, I'm able to still continue to go play golf. It's different, you know, and get this, like, the more challenges I have, the better I keep playing, which doesn't make any sense. Because when I was super healthy, or, you know, the definition of what people think is healthy, like, my game was horrible, you know, but now every ounce of energy is so precious that I need to be very careful. And so this has opened a whole new world to me. And not just, you know, with the 3Bs, but out there interacting and helping people that are older and younger and in different phases of their lives, despite their challenges, figure out ways to move forward. And that's super, you know. So, you know, I think my advice would be, like, you know, really think about for yourself what that means.
Yeah.
But, you know, a full life, you know, I think that would be the key. You know, there's that old saying, you know, get busy, you know, either get busy dying or get busy living, you know. And unfortunately, quite a few people on my cohort on the cancer side have, you know, they took the news and they just decided that that was the end. And unfortunately, they're not with us anymore. It's almost like they just kind of gave up and rolled over.
Yeah.
You know, I ate vegetables for 2 years straight. You know, I found, you know, some other programs that people had used food in different parts of the world to fight cancer. So I was like, I'm going to do everything I can, you know, to kind of fight. And so, you know, it was super, you're not eating for taste, you know, and it was a lot of work. But, you know, then again, you know, maybe this really helped treatments get me to where I am today.
Well, you can come back on the show because we could do a whole different episode, like a whole episode just to talk about how most of the foods in our society in the United States are cancer causing because of all the ingredients and preservatives they put in it. And that the people who are trying to eat healthy, the food is so high in cost, the organic food, that it's hard for people to be healthy. But go to Europe and not less than 1/3 of the food from the United States is allowed in Europe because it does not meet their approval. It's not because of all the impurities in the food. So that could be a whole different discussion. Let's get back on our discussion.
Yeah. Well, I will say, you know, as part of being well, you know, I'm a big proponent is food is medicine too.
So 100%.
It's 100%. Not the only medicine, but it's also medicine.
So, Dr. Axe, his mother had cancer, and that's why he got so into it. And bone broth, and you have to read his story because he's more descriptive and he goes into detail. But he put his mother on bone broth and a certain diet, and his mother, the cancer went away. And they couldn't figure out where the cancer went. And I think his mother ended up in the medical books. Don't quote me on this, but I'm almost positive because it was just an amazing case. But he had his mother on a strict diet. I think he's originally a chiropractor, but he did his research. He did all his stuff. And he had his mother on a specific diet. And that diet helped his mother with the cancer that she had. I'm not sure what cancer she had, but yes. Food plays a big role. If you look in the blue zone areas, they live a very long life, you know, so food plays a humongous role. Everything we put in our bodies plays a role on how we feel, how our health is mentally and physically.
Yeah. I mean, one area that I'd love to explore is, like, you know, how, you know, does eating poorly affect your default thinking? You know, the kind of, like, if you just sit there and what thoughts pop into your head, like, you know, if you're eating junk and crap all the time, like, you know, do you have worse thoughts? You know, I believe that that is a thing.
Well, but they've done studies and they found that.
Yeah. I mean, I totally believe it. And, you know, there's some adjustment at first, but, like, because of the foods that are available to us are so high in salt and, you know, factory foods that have been altered to, like, trigger these kind of addictive reactions to the food. You know, you just want to eat French fries and chips all the time. Or, like, you go out to eat and it's hard to find vegetables. I mean, you know, I want it on the side. Like, I you know, I don't want the chips and fries. Like maybe I want, you know, broccoli or something, but like a lot of places just don't have it, you know? So it's really, again, taking responsibility as the patient to own it yourself and, you know, try and get out there and make better choices. And you will make bad choices, just like you get knocked down and then you get off track. If you can become aware that you're off track, that's when you're winning. And then you get, keep nudging yourself back towards track, right?
100%. Now, I'm going to get back to the be kind part. Now, why is being kind, especially to yourself, one of the most important, radical, and most difficult things a chronically ill person can learn to do?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're dealing with anything chronic, you know, first the, you know, grieving your former self, you know, accepting, you know, what is happening. You're dealing with everyone else's emotions and reactions. It is one big negativity storm. So, you know, you need to really just start practicing to try and be kind. You know, one easy way is smiling at yourself in the mirror just for like 10 or 15 seconds. And then you'll know as a litmus test right away, like, oh, what kind of thoughts just popped into my head? Or like, did you stop? Or was it really hard? Or, you know, were you able to hold it? And like, you know, if you can work up to like a full minute, you know, it'll make a big difference in your life. But, you know, I think being kind outwardly also, you know, it's a choice. You know, you have a choice. You're not powerless. You can decide, you know, am I going to do things that are going to harm people or am I going to do things that are going to help people?
Yeah.
You know, and so I know I have to do all that self-work to be able to help other people, especially while I'm going through some of the negativity that is surrounding the challenges and, you know, the diseases and the conditions and everything. They all come with a long list. And frankly, the medicines, when you get advanced conditions, you're dealing with medicines of the side, you're taking medicines for the side effects of the medicines that you took for the condition. And it's like, oh my God, you know, and then someone's like, oh, what do you think caused that? And I'm like, I don't even know if I can articulate what I'm feeling, you know, which, you know, you hit this earlier, but like being able to tell your service providers, whoever they are, you know, whether it's a doctor or, you know, you're going to a holistic person or your acupuncturist or, you know, whoever, if you can't describe it, you know, on demand, that's okay. But maybe you should start trying to practice. And, you know, we have the world's information at our fingertips. You know, look up all the adjectives and be like, oh my gosh, this is it. Tingling, you know, pins and needles, you know, ice pick. Yes. Stabbing, searing. Okay. These are ones that I definitely feel, you know, is it aching, you know, thumping? No, you know, and you start to be able to articulate that. And then you're giving them better information. They can give better output back to you. And then this creates a loop. But to come back to be kind, you know, and then you're going to come across where you're having a rough day and people aren't kind to you.
Yeah.
How can you respond?
Yeah.
Because often those are the people that need the most kindness.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's this story, I guess it was Oprah or something, where she was in a cab and they were really rude and she ended up giving them a big tip. And, you know, the person with them were like, what are you doing? Like, they were horrible to you. Like, what? They need it the most because people are not kind when they're suffering.
Yeah.
You know, or something's wrong and, you know, or something has happened to them or, you know, so how can we help everyone else to learn to, you know, embrace that kind of mentality of, you know, I'm going to be kind to myself and other people despite what is happening.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not easy and it takes a lot of work.
It does.
But again, coming back to that awareness and being present, that's where you win. Because you can train yourself to become aware when you're not being kind, that's, you know, or your close circle, you know, have an understanding with them. You know, sometimes when things are really bad, we'll use a key word like lamp.
Yeah.
That means like, I am off the rails and I'm just headed for a path of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go sort some of this out and then come back.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so true. Now, for everybody that's listening, if you are living with a chronic pain, a chronic illness, or any condition that has made you feel like life, the one that you wanted, is no longer available to you, I need you to stay with us and follow this podcast right now, because this is exactly the kind of conversation that we are here to have. Real, honest, practical, and full of hope that is especially and actually earned on this site. Now, this is the one thing that I think will change how people approach their healing starting today. When someone is in the depths of chronic illness, exhausted in pain, unable to see a way forward, the idea of a big transformation feels cruel. It feels impossible. Now, you believe in something completely different, tiny wins. Yes. So, what does that actually look like in somebody's real life on a real bad day?
Yeah, this could be, you know, anything to, you know, even as you take an unplanned rest and you're not being very nice to yourself, you know, snuggling up with a pet, right? Then you feel all of a sudden a little bit of warmth in your heart. You know, that's a tiny win.
Yeah.
And then you start to kind of look for these in your day. You know, we were just talking about food, and when we're out looking at food at the grocery store, you know, taking a moment to actually look at the ingredients and say, oh, I think this could irritate my condition. Maybe I'll pass on this and get an apple or something, some sort of whole food, some sort of something that could actually help a bit more.
Yeah.
But I think for us to be able to achieve great things, what people don't realize is that it's a million little things stacked up over a long period of time.
Right.
As opposed to just one day you wake up and magically everything is better. And that's, you know, the darkness, you know, I've gone through depression and gone down the wrong paths multiple times.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you need to do that to figure out which are the right paths.
Yeah.
And, you know, during that and when things are so horrible, I think, you know, realizing that you are not alone, you know, you feel alone and you don't have anyone that can exactly relate, there's other people in the world that can. I mean, you are not. And it might be different some. But just the fact that you and I connected here, and even though the things that got us to the point of what we've been through are different, the similarities of the journey are very similar. And I think, you know, if you can wrap your mind around that,
yeah,
it will really help you take tiny steps every day.
Why is a small improvement something almost invisible to anyone watching from the outside, so extraordinarily powerful for someone in a chronic condition?
Yeah. Well, people that are in the thick of it with you, it's going to be really hard to see any improvements, you know, especially small ones over time. So there is, you know, you need to keep the faith. And despite of what they are seeing or what you're being told or what people are saying to you, you know, you need to just kind of keep on keeping on yourself. And that's really between, you know, you and your faith and you and the universe. And just being willing to continue, despite, you know, whatever's happening and whatever you're being told. And then eventually one day, you'll be able to look back and they'll look back with you and be like, oh, wow, we've come a long way. And on that journey, it may not, you may not have heard that very much, but, you know, and I just want to point this out, like in the support groups, you need to be like, as a warning, like you need to be careful because there is a lot of us versus them. And
yeah.
I've seen so many relationships get torn apart because of the victim mentality. And then they just don't understand. Well, they can't. There's no way they can understand. But what they can understand is, maybe at certain times you can't be available, or like, you know, you need to have some space, or you need to go do something that is very positive that makes you happy, even though something else, you know, might be happening.
Yeah.
You need to go do this because it's going to be help you get through, and you need to do that for yourself.
Yeah, you definitely do. And, you know, not every support group is meant for everybody. You know, there are times, you know, I've left support groups because it was more depressing than anything else. And then they can be support groups that are very positive and upgoing, and you get a lot from it. So you have to find the right one. Now, how do those micro improvements compound over time into something that looks like the outside world is like a miracle?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, the fact that I've been able to apply what I've learned from previous conditions to getting a terminal diagnosis to be able to stay alive.
Yeah.
That is a compilation of years and years and years of, you know, resilience practice of just getting up and trying again.
Yeah.
And telling myself there's three things, you know, it's not just for you and not for everyone else, but it's for me also selfishly, you know, for me to be strong and for me to be well and be kind. Like, yeah, like thanks for the reminder. I need to go do that, you know? Or wow, it's the end of the day and I haven't really tried to think of anything I'm grateful for yet. Like, let me take a pause and take a few minutes on that. Yeah.
I like that. Now, this is the mindset shift that I think is going to stay with people long after this episode ends, moving from I can't anymore to I can differently. Those two words, differently, carry so much more, you know, and what does it feel like, you know, from the inside when someone finally makes that shift?
Yeah, it's like the floodgates open, you know, not just your mind, but your entire being like gets flooded with all this great euphoric sensations that like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I can do this, right? You know, leading up to that, like, you know, you may have fell down 100 times, but then that 101st time you were able to take the 10 steps. You know, when I got out of brain surgery the last time, you know, they bore through and I had to plate here and I had trouble talking. I was chewing on my tongue and this whole side of my face was numb. So I had to go like get some help to learn how to talk. You know, walking, I had to be supervised. I would go into PT and they'd put this big harness on me and I'd practice trying to walk straight without running into the walls. But, you know, you just keep getting up and keep trying. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, the magic happens. You know, and I think the other thing is, you know, we all want to expect things to be great, but you know, that's kind of where we suffer. If you can just accept things for how they are and faith that this is happening for a reason. We touched on this in an earlier conversation, but you know, I worked with a pain psychologist and, you know, he challenged me like, how can you find something positive in all this? You know, that sent me off for 3 months, you know, down to like, oh, negative paths and all sorts of stuff. And then, you know, I realized like, oh, wow, you know, I just helped 3 people get through this and think about it a little differently. You know, so one of the things with chronic pain is, you know, not using the word pain and training your mind to be like, well, it's a really annoying unpleasantness.
Yeah.
It's a vibration and it's out of control and I can't control it. But, you know, you start to attach all these negative words to it and then it gets really heavy. But if you can kind of, you know, reframe it a bit, you can learn to live just a little bit better. And doing that, and the next thing, you're living pretty good. I never would have thought that I would, you know, become an author or be able to play on, or that there was even something that existed called, you know, the adaptive golf tour. And so here I am, like traveling around the country out there talking to people and trying to inspire them, but also giving them the tools while I go out and kind of show them what I can do despite all this.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a whole new whole new life that I would have never imagined. But I'm grateful to have it.
Yeah. Now, what has happened first emotionally, mentally, spiritually before a person is ready to let go of who they were and start to rediscover in who they are becoming?
Wow. Yeah. So this is another a lot of hard work that you're going to have to do, because growing up and, you know, kind of becoming a young adult, you have very concrete ideas of what your life is going to be like. And, you know, all these, and you make plans, and then suddenly those are not going to materialize, or like it's totally different than you imagined. And so not just letting it go, but you actually have to grieve, and yeah. You have to go through these stages. And for me, kind of like, it's been written out in textbooks like it's kind of a straight line, but it is a big googly mess, and you jump around all these different stages. But I think at the end, if you can find meaning in your acceptance, that is when you really will start to learn how to thrive. But you have to really, it takes a lot of, I don't want to say time and energy, but there's effort involved, and you have to, you know, work on letting go. And it's not just you, it's everyone in your circle will take time to adjust to what we thought the future was going to be like to what the future is becoming.
Yeah.
You know, and I think also that's why I've been able to thrive despite some very negative probabilities. So here we are. And so I think there's goodness on the horizon that we haven't even untapped yet.
Yeah. And for the person who is in the middle of that right now, grieving the life that they had, scared of the life that's ahead, what do they need to hear?
They need to hear that no matter how dark it is, or, you know, what your brain is telling you about how life is over, they're just thoughts. And, you know, you need to realize that and acknowledge those thoughts, but you don't need to grab onto them and let them consume you. You can kind of let them go, and you can decide to have other thoughts and really start to live intentionally that, you know, yeah, this is different, or, you know, this is happening and I really wish this wasn't happening or whatever. There's a path forward, and you just really have to take one step at a time. And as you said, sometimes you'll take five steps and then get knocked back a few. But even if you got knocked back two steps, you still achieve three steps.
Exactly.
And that might be the way the process works for you.
Right.
You may not get 100% of those steps forward, but that's okay. You're still moving forward.
Exactly. So last question, Albie, and I want you to answer this for the person who needs it the most. They just got a diagnosis they did not expect, or they have been living a life with a condition for years and they are exhausted and out of hope. They are lying awake right now, wondering if they are ever going to feel like themselves again. You went from brain surgeries and stage 4 cancer to competing on the U.S. Adaptive Golf Tour. What do you say to that person?
I'd say, you know, your thoughts are valid and what you're feeling is valid. But I would say that if you can't feel the hope, you know, let us hold the hope for you, and we'll hold that for you. And then one day when you're ready, we're going to give it back to you. But meanwhile, you just keep on keeping on. And even if you can't muster up the strength to have the hope, we'll hold the hope for you, and then we'll give it.
Yeah. I love that. Now, where can people find your book, and remind people what the title is again, and let them know where they can find it?
Yeah. So we ended up on the title, Be Strong, Be Well, Be Kind. And then under the subtitle of The Battle Proven Path to Reclaim Your Life from Chronic Pain, Illness, and Other Conditions. And that's really the key, is really taking back control and taking back, reclaiming your life and creating a new life around this. You know, right now you can find it up on Amazon. It's available. I'm making it available as I build out my own site, 3bs.org. So stay tuned. That's coming.
Your social networks, they can find you at, right? And which ones can they?
Yeah, I'm pretty active. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. On my list of to-dos is, doing a little more videos on YouTube and TikTok. So not quite there yet, but we'll get there. But then again, you got to keep in mind, I have to warrior on myself through all the ups and downs. And in fact, even I'm getting ready to go to another event where I'll actually be one of the pros in a pro-am, which is one of the first time for me. And so that's super exciting.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I get back, we get back into another treatment loop. And so I'll get injections, and then I know it'll take 10 days for my body and mind to recover. And, I got to practice the 3 Vs in there and be a shining example, even though it's going to be a tough 10 days, but, we can do it. And I'm out the other side, and we'll get back to work on building the website and getting the audiobook done and everything else that we need to do to have more.
And never say I can't. So always say I will.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
That's absolutely what I want.
Stacey, this has been a real treat. I really appreciate this.
You're amazing, Albie. And for the listeners out there, I want you to know that you are not broken. You are not becoming. That is not a motivational poster. That is not a slogan. That is not a lived testimony of a man who went through all these things most of us cannot even imagine and came out on the other side, not just, intact, but transformed. Be strong, be well, be kind. 3 words, 15 years of proof, and a message that could change everything for someone who has been told there is nothing left to do but manage. Albie, thank you for being on today's show and sharing your story with us, your courage and your heart. Please tell the listeners where they can find you once again. They should go to your social networks.
It's under Albie. So I'm Albert the Third, but I go by Albie. So Albie the Third. You can find me. And then the book right now is available on Amazon, and look forward to the future where you'll be able to order signed copies with a personal message from 3Vs.org. So that's something that's coming up real quick.
Love it. And if this episode gave you hope or it gave you something back you thought you had lost, share it right now with someone who needs it. You might be saving someone's day, and you might be saving more than that. And I have to say, for you, Albie, I think it's so courageous. I don't think people realize how much strength you need to share your story, because every time we share our stories, our emotions come to the surface. We're reminded of things that don't always want to resonate emotionally, because all that stuff is in our subconscious, 90% of it. And when we recollect and we talk about it, yes, we're helping people, but it takes a lot of courage, like super duper courage and strength, to be able to come out and to share your story. And you're doing that because you want to help others, which is amazing. To me, you're another, portion of my heart that I want to keep inside me to remember, because You are just an extraordinary gentleman, and I wish you the best of luck with your recovery. And I'm always here for you, and the audience is always here for you. And I thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you come back and we can talk some more. And I just want to say thank you for being you. Thank you for what you're doing. And just thank you for writing the book and sharing your story with millions of people out there. And today for coming on and sharing with millions of people out there. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
And thank you, Stacey. I super appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
All right, you too. Take care.